Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share this information with you. We begin our program with the latest on health and healing. Everybody cares about their hair when they have it. But then we have male pattern baldness, we have women pattern baldness, and historically the only thing we did is have wigs. And some wigs could look all right, they look natural, but most didn't. Now we have hair replacements, where they take hair from the back of your scalp and they transplant it on the front, and it's like lines of hair. And I've had people in my family who did it, and it helped them. It didn't look the way it used to, but it was better than bald. And except for my brother, my older brother, he had a thick head of hair at one time, but then he smoked and he drank and was not into health. He was athletic, and his hair thinned, and by the time he was 30, he only had like 3 strands of hair. And I said, Howard, we're out in the car one day, and I'm looking over at him, he's driving, and he's got this convertible, and there's 3 strands of hair sticking straight up like antennas. I said, Howard, let me just cut those off. He looked, no, you're not going to cut my 3 last strands of hair off. I said, Howard, well, it's not really disguising the fact that you're bald. In any case, he didn't want to go the route of trying to grow hair again. People just didn't believe you could, and science didn't believe you could. In my own case, I was also going bald. Every man in my family, all my uncles, brothers, father, all bald. And about 23 years old, I was getting thin hair, and I just let it grow long. And no matter what I did, now mind you, I never smoked or drank or took drugs, had a healthy diet, exercised, I took supplements, nothing worked. What did work, by the way, was when I flooded my body purely by accident, because I was on a tour. And while this tour took me around middle America, there were no healthy restaurants to eat at. Literally, I'd go into a restaurant. I remember going into Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I looked at the menu and everything was meat and potatoes, muffins, and nothing good. I said, do you have any beans? No. Do you have any? Well, they had some pork and beans, right? And I didn't want to sit there and take the pork out of the beans. And they cook with lard, right? And believe it or not, the only salad you could get was iceberg lettuce, tasteless and worthless, and a tomato that was probably about 300 years old. You could use it in a baseball game for 9 innings, not dent it. I mean, and people hate this crap, really. And so I juiced up a whole bunch of vegetables I had down at my ranch, and I took it with me. So I did in the morning. I could get oatmeal and some apple juice and a banana, but I just kept throwing this stuff every time I was hungry. I threw this in, drank it, appetite satisfied. I was out about, on that particular tour, around 21 days. I got back, and one evening I was in the Institute of Applied Biology up on my laboratory, third floor. And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I'm feeling my forehead, and I suddenly feel something. And I feel, and there's tiny little, like, spiky stuff. So I went and looked in the mirror, and I had new hair growing right up front where I was thinning. I thought, well, that's wild. How'd that happen? And I looked through everything. Nothing had changed. Oh, except that one thing. I was flooding my body with phytonutrients that I didn't even know existed, antioxidants. And so then I went back and looked at all the stuff that I had grown, and then over the next year tried to duplicate it, and did. And then I did a study with about 5,000 people showed up, about 3,000 were in the study, 1,500 finished the study, and it proved that you can actually stimulate. And I won't go into it about the energy in the foods exceeded the energy of the genes. And when you can exceed a genetic signature, meaning the gene is only supposed to do A, B, and C, and you can get it to do D, E, and F, you have to exceed it, what I call the laws of compensation. To the degree that you have any limitation in life, you must exceed that limitation. When I get a dog in that someone just tied to the front fence, and they do that sometimes, they don't tell anything about the dog. And of course, they're always abused or mistreated or neglected. Take them to the vet, you see if there's anything inside, parasites have to be dealt with medically. But then what you got to do, you got to give it love. I mean, a lot of love. But there's a point to where you give it so much love, one day it's no longer in a corner. One day it's wagging its tail. And one day it comes over and it puts its head, when you're singing, it puts its head right against your chest. You've exceeded its pain, its trauma, and you've replaced it with unconditional love and bonding. Suddenly, it's like a puppy again. It's also true for human beings, also. Whatever problem they have, you must exceed it. Anyhow, I won't go into all this in depth. But needless to say, it worked. And that's been the protocol I've been using on all of my studies ever since. And that's why people have great skin and even great hair. Because whatever causes the hair to grow thicker, lusterful, and not dry and brittle will also cause your fingernails to grow hard, shiny, healthy, non-ridged, non-flecked and flaked, and not splinting. Same with your toenails. So whatever you're going to do for your hair, it's going to help your skin. So anyhow, I just mentioned that because there's a study in Germany at the Leibniz Research Institute for Environmental Medicine, and they found that pine bark, many of you probably don't know it as pine bark, you probably know it as pycnogenol, P-Y-C-N-O-G-E-N-O-L, it creates women to have healthier, thicker, more lusterful hair. And that's good. And remember, that's internal. You can put a lot on your hair out externally so it doesn't, you know, get so dry. But it's from inside that the follicle is enriched. The nutrients in there, like vitamin D and folic acid and the B complex, very important for having healthier hair. Just being vitamin D deficient will cause your hair to thin, drop out. In any case, that's what they found. This was a randomized trial and reported in Health Science Reports, and it resulted in improvements in hair density and scalp water loss among women who received pycnogenol. Technically, it comes from the French maritime pine bark extract. And they compared that to placebo. So women who had female pattern hair loss, and by the way, that affects women of all ages, and it increases dramatically after menopause, it worked. It really helped them. So I'm just suggesting, so what can you do to have healthier, really nice hair? And as I've shown you many times, and you're seeing right now, my hair is really thick. It's long. It's about 8 inches on top. And after I get out of the shower in the morning, I just take a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of coconut oil, rub it, and then just rub it through my hair. All right? And by the nutrients that I take in, so I'm not deficient, and by the exercise, all that combines to re-stimulate follicle growth. Now, it's normal to have anywhere from 60 to 150 hairs come out every day. You can see them on your pillow. You can see them in the shower. You can see them in your brush if you're brushing your hair. And I can go sometimes for a month and never see a hair come out. A month. And I have to get my hair cut almost every week. I like it shorter now around here. And so just suggesting the more green juices you drink, especially with chlorella, spirulina, wheatgrass powder or wheatgrass juice, those really stimulate it. But also beta carotene, your carrots, your colorful vegetables and fruits. And especially important are the berries. Now, any kind of berry is good, but wild blueberries and raspberries seem to do the best as far as rejuvenating hair. In fact, right now, I'm working with a person whose hair was almost all gray, and after about 4 weeks, starting to see black, and this is a 70-year-old person, black at the roots coming out. And that's not unusual. So something simple, something easy, we just don't pay attention to it. Anyhow, and they only took 50 milligrams a day of pycnogenol or pine bark, but they took it 3 times a day. So they got 150 milligrams a day of pycnogenol in the diet, pine bark. Pycnogenol, pine bark, one and the same. And it does a lot of other good things as well inside the body. Helps the scalp skin also, improves it. It improves microcirculation, which is important. And so it's also good for your heart. It's good for your arteries. All right, it's good for hair loss. Now, I take a lot of garlic. I take two types of garlic. I take a liquid garlic in the morning, a tablespoon. Then I take the garlic powder later in the day. Both really help your blood pressure. In fact, I had a person that I'm working with now who had really high blood pressure. When I tell you how high, you say, well, that's not possible, Gary. And a racing, resting pulse, meaning the heart was going boom, 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 boom. And they were on three different blood pressure medications. When I spoke with the doctors, her advocate, I said, if you saw that three medications were not working to lower the blood pressure, it was still 200 over 200 and higher than that, and the resting pulse was still up around 90, and a person's morbidly obese, at any second they're going to die. Any second. The doctor had not a single advice on lifestyle and behavior modification. Well, the good news is that in two weeks, the last 2 weeks, person's blood pressure is now normal. No medications. The blood pressure, person's blood sugar is normal, almost normal. It got down to 85, which is almost normal, from 203 with two medications. No medications, 85 in 2 weeks. Oh, and 27 pounds lost in weight in 2 weeks. Still got another 100 pounds to go, but two of the diseases that can kill you no longer going to be instrumental. Garlic is an important part of that. This person's taking garlic throughout the day because garlic will lower your blood pressure. Garlic will help kill viruses and bacteria in your throat, your intestine. It's terrific. It's one of nature's most perfect all-around foods you can put in your body. But according to the University of Edinburgh, garlic extract could help cystic fibrosis patients fight infection. Why? A chemical found in garlic can kill bacteria that cause life-threatening lung infections in people with cystic fibrosis. The study is the first to show that the chemical known as allicin, A-L-L-I-C-I-N, could be an effective treatment against a group of infectious bacteria that is highly resistant to most antibiotics. Allicin is produced naturally by garlic bulbs to ward off a closely related group of plant pathogens found in soil and water habitats. In the 1980s, the bacteria that is called BCC emerged as a cause of serious and transmissible lung infections in people with cystic fibrosis. And researchers found that allicin, which can be extracted by crushing raw garlic, juicing raw garlic, or just getting the liquid garlic, inhibits the growth of bacteria and at higher doses kills the plant pathogens. And by the way, that's one of the reasons that in my gardens, I take garlic and liquefy it, and then I dilute it with hydrogen peroxide and I spray it on the plants. I never have any loss by insects. None. Right? I also do that on fruit trees. So the team suggested allicin kills the bacteria by chemically modifying key enzymes. And this deactivates them and halts important biological processes within the pathogen cells. So garlic can kill the bacteria. By the way, it also can help with MRSA. And that's important because MRSA kills tens of thousands of Americans each year. Lowered immune system caused that. From the University of Bergen in Norway, too little and too much sleep can get you sick. A good night's sleep can solve all sorts of problems, but scientists have now discovered new evidence that sleeping well may make you less vulnerable to infection. Scientists at the university recruited medical students working in doctor's surgeries to hand out short questionnaires to patients asking about sleep quality and recent infection. they found that patients who reported sleeping too little or too much were more likely to report a recent infection. So, just suggesting, get your sleep, but not too much and not too little. That can help prevent infections, which are because your immune system is not strong. Also, this is something that I've known but haven't been able to prove. And again, anyone working in any field, no matter what the field, sometimes you just get an insight. You get, let's call it a catharsis, something that wasn't there before in your thoughts, but now is, and you think, wow, let me try this, and it works, or it doesn't, but at least you have an idea, and you work on it. So this is what we found. This is from the National University of Singapore and Rockefeller University. They found a link between being impatient, we know a lot of people are impatient, and aging faster, and hence dying sooner. If you're impatient, you die sooner. That's what this study shows. One more reason to slow it down. I really like the slow food movement, the slow sex movement, where you take your time, you're not rushed. I did an article once, I published it, it's called Rushing to Orgasm. Why? Why is the orgasm the most important part of sex? It shouldn't be. You know, the pleasure of sharing that exchange, in that rhythm of exchange, if Americans practice the Kundalini, or if they practice any of the slower techniques, eating slow, taking your time when you're doing something so you're not rushing through it. Stop multitasking everything because you're not going to get a lot done, but none of it really well. Focus upon what you do and relax into it, flow into it. So when I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, I'm taking my time. I don't rush for anything. Now, I know how to cook quicker, meaning I don't have to have things simmer forever, you know, but I'm making other dishes while something is simmering in a homemade sauce. And it tastes a lot better than stuff just boom, boom, out of a jar into a, you know, skillet. No. You can do the same thing from scratch, and it tastes a whole lot different. I just got a call yesterday afternoon from my cinematographer, Raul Marconi. And, in fact, he's coming in today. I got to go to the airport and pick him up because we're filming someone who is making some remarkable improvements. And I want to have this film and that person's story, their life story. And then, because I think that will motivate other people who are similar age, similar circumstances, to realize there's hope. Or otherwise, there's no hope. People live in chronic fear of, will this be my last day on earth? Will I wake up tomorrow thinking about all the things they will never see again, the people they never hear and touch and enjoy again, their pets and their family, friends, the projects they will never be able to complete? That's how most people live once they have a serious illness. That's going over in their mind. So we have to get new mind talk that is positive, not negative, and stop focusing on the disease. Instead, focus upon the solutions. So this is being filmed starting today and tomorrow. And I think you're going to really be inspired by what you see. Virtually impossible in any case I've ever seen in medicine. We've been checking to see if anyone has ever reversed all these conditions in such a short period of time. So I'm going to get it on. I'm going to play it for you. I'll post it. In any case, he just came from Costa Rica. And I said, what'd you like about your trip? He said, Gary, there's no crime. Zero crime. Everybody gets along. People are very nice. The rainforests are just the most beautiful you've ever seen. And the food tastes different. A mango tastes different. A papaya tastes different. And everything is growing all year round. So you don't have to wait a week before something was harvested till you get it, and it changes the taste depending upon if it's a refrigerator, truck, or whatever. He said, I've never eaten food this delicious in my life. He said, it's just spectacular. He said, if no one's ever visited Costa Rica, do so. They don't put any money into the military. You know, that's one of the reasons that they have money to put into quality of life. And that's why a lot of people live there. Other people like to visit. Anyhow, he said it was the food. You know, they really know how to grow food. And they have rich soils. And so I said, good for you. Well, keep in mind, when you're patient, you're going to take your time eating something, especially if it's something you enjoy. I remember being in San Sebastian for the World Games. And the night before the World Games, everyone else sat having their pasta meal. And some friends and I who went over, we were down on the wharf. And we got there a little early. It was still daylight. And there was no one there. And we just kind of sat around and just sat on the wharf. Next thing you know, these people pull up. And they go over to these little doors, look like barn doors, and they open them up, and I walked over. Tiny little kitchen. I mean, my study here, where I'm broadcasting from, and you see half of it, my study is twice as large as any restaurant that was there. I'm talking about like 15 feet by 15 feet. You know, somewhere between 125, 150 square foot is all their kitchen. Anyhow, what they did is all these little carts start coming up with their fresh fish and their vegetables and all types of herbs, and they put it all in there, and next thing you know, they start putting the things together, and they're doing this about 2 hours before everyone gets there, starting their sauces, and I'm watching all this. And I said, do you mind? I said, I'm a chef. And we had conversations, and they serve people. But then when it came to the serving of the food, now it's dark and the lights are on and you see the harbor, one of the oldest harbors in Spain, at San Sebastian, and the beautiful, you know, town that's there. And I'm watching, and I saw Americans there at other tables. They had ordered, and they kept asking, when's the next course coming? And so I walked over the table. I see y'all in the World Games. Oh, yeah, okay. I am too, and my whole table is. And I said, I just want to let you know, here they serve by courses. They don't bring out everything on a plate. Take your time, because you're going to have some of the finest food you've ever eaten in your life. But they didn't take it. You don't see any jars or cans in there. Everything is fresh. The olives, I've watched them bring them in. They have like 20 different types of olives in these baskets. They'll be throwing those olives into your dishes. And they appreciated it. They still ate a lot faster. We took an hour, took our time. And that's what it should take. Slow it down. Why is this important? The National Institute of Singapore and Rockefeller University said, if you're impatient, I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. You're going to die faster. I don't want to see you die faster. I want to see you age faster. I'm going to see you just slow it down to appreciate life. And one of the things I've seen a lot of senior citizens who are living in balance is they slow it all down. They're still doing everything, except they're taking their time. They're not rushing. Here's my issue. For those of you watching and listening right now, how many people can say they don't have to be any place the rest of their life? If you don't have to be any place the rest of your life, why are you rushing to get there? Slow it down. Conversations, slow it down. Discussions, learning, reading, slow it down. All right, enjoying music, take your time. Going for a walk in nature, don't rush out, you know, and then rush back. Take your time. I noticed this morning I was out on the track working out for a championship race coming up. And I'm out there before the sun comes up. And just as the mist was rising up off the pastures, there's this beautiful silhouette of all the palm trees and the tropical foliage. And I thought, wow, one of those wow moments. You're seeing just the beginning of the sunlight and the mist is rising. Now, the same thing in the evening, the pinks and all of the wonderful colors, pastels, in the sunsets. You sit there. You think, wow, I'm in the right place at the right time to appreciate this. I just want you to realize you don't have to keep rushing at everything. You don't keep anxious. Because when you're anxious, you're going to be impatient. When you're fearful, you're going to be impatient. Let it go. All right? And that's what they found here. That's an important study. That's it on Health and Nutrition today. And by the way, you can go over to Gary Nall at YouTube And you can also go to Odyssey and Rumble or GaryNall.com and see the Classroom on the Air. I'm doing an 80-part series right now of dealing with all the human elements of life, fear, insecurity, greed, anger, resentment, betrayal, lies, all the things that impact all of us at different times in our life, and how to deal with them without becoming a part of that energy. You can stay non-toxic in a toxic environment. You can stay happy in a sad environment. You have to know how to deal with it, or otherwise you just get consumed by it. We have too many people today who are sick because their impressions of what they're capable of doing have been diminished. Right? And it's free, so take advantage of it. We're going to take a break and come right back as we have a lot of interesting stuff to share with you. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. One of the finest, most reasoned, and compassionate, and constructive voices we have in our society is Dr. Naomi Wolf. She is working with a large group of scientists and volunteers. People are coming into a project taking Pfizer's original data that was withheld from us, and the FDA wanted to withhold it for 75 years, but a court order said no, give the people the results of all these studies, and that's what they're analyzing. The latest information should really be of concern. It tells you about the side effects, not of the COVID virus, but of vaccines. For men, pay attention, this is really serious. And we're going to try to see what we can do to prevent this. And by the way, remember, I have the protocols for everything COVID. And in fact, I'm going to read you some of the comments that people have given me based upon looking at the documentary, four-hour documentary. But right now, if you've had the vaccine, pay attention.
You at the Daily Clout, you continue to put out more information. There's a new concern about these jabs. I want to get to a clip that you all recently put out. This is the COO of Daily Clout, Amy Kelly, who was with you the last time I think you were on the show. You've uncovered some very disturbing adverse reactions for men. Some men are experiencing with these jabs. Take a listen.
I did some research on this, and it's very disturbing. One thing that comes up in the results of adverse events related to the penis is just general penis injury. It doesn't say more than that. But the other things it goes into are quite concerning. One thing it mentions is penile vein thrombosis, and thrombosis is a blood clot. So, of course, that is always a bad thing to have going on anywhere in your body. And another thing that shows up is penile neoplasm, which a neoplasm is a malignant lesion. There's also something called penile intraepithelial neoplasm. Again, it's rare. It's a precancerous disease of the outer skin layer or the epidermis of the penis. We probably have all heard of neoplasms, and quite concerning that that would be an adverse event. It goes on to show penile squamous cell carcinoma, which it says on the internet, on medical sites, is quite uncommon in the U.S. typically, but it is being seen now as an adverse event of the COVID mRNA vaccines.
Now, I remember when rapper Nicki Minaj got a lot of backlash for posting this tweet in 2021 when she said, "My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. And now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with it, your decision, not bullied." If this doesn't put the fear of God in men about these jabs, I don't know what will.
I mean, first let me say, I remember vividly what happened to Nicki Minaj. That is such a neutral tweet. She's literally just saying, "I heard that this happened," which is an eyewitness, you know, account. It's a personal testimony of someone, you know, she knew, or someone who knew someone she knew, sorry. And she was hammered as a conspiracy theorist, crazy, you know, all the ways you can diminish and demean someone. It pounded her, and the bots and trolls came out like crazy. And then, you know, I looked up, I didn't even have the Pfizer documents at that point, but I looked up VAERS, and there was tons of exactly what she was talking about, you know, double digits at least, swollen testicles, right? And I also want to add to what the amazing Amy Kelly, I'm so impressed with her, you know, every day, you know, she just moves these 3,500 volunteers, medical and scientific experts along with just a firm hand, you know, toward truth. And this is her second report on what is happening to men's sexual health, to say the least. And her earlier report is even as disturbing because she found that the lipid nanoparticles were degrading. They degrade every membrane in the human body. The testes are held in a membrane. And she found that they were degrading the not only the testes of babies in utero, baby boys in utero, so that the next generation of little boys doesn't even have to be vaccinated in order to have their masculinity impaired, right? But she also found that they were degrading the Leydig cells and the Sertoli cells in the testes, which is literally the factories of masculinity. So literally, we don't know if these little boys of vaccinated moms are going to turn into men, essentially be able to be sexually functioning adult men with secondary sexual characteristics like deep voices, you know, hair on their bodies, all the things we recognize as male. Mm-hmm. It's literally an experiment on masculinity. You know, I'm not trying to be flippant, but I literally think that Amy Kelly is going to go down in history in this time as the woman who saved the penis, because she has, you know, been coming forward with these reports, and this report of these serious blood clots, lesions, precancerous cells, ulcers, rashes on the penis in the Pfizer documents, those are being confirmed independently by Dr. Robert Chandler and other investigators. So, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a real thing that's happening to real men, discovered in primary source documents that, you know, that the FDA wanted to keep hidden for 25 years. I'm sorry, 75 years. And I guess the last thing I'll say about this is quite impressionistic, Emerald, but, you know, there's such a negative impact on human sexuality and reproduction. We haven't even talked about the hormonal impacts, right? But, you know, I wrote a book on female sexuality in 2012, and human sexuality is very delicate. A lot of things can throw it off. You know, scent can throw it off. Hormonal changes can throw it off. Stress can throw it off, right? It takes a lot of systems aligning in order to create desire and in order to have sexual intercourse that's successful, both from the man and the woman, and in order, let alone to conceive a baby. A lot of stars have to align in the human body. Well, just impressionistically, have you noticed, you know, do you see couples kissing in the street anymore, or, you know, passionately holding each other? You know, I feel such a kind of deadening of human desire among vaccinated populations. You know, do you see pregnant women? Do you see nursing mothers? Like, all of these things, I mean, maybe from time to time, but I just feel like there's such a change in the sense of, like, people being impelled toward one another that used to characterize, you know, the human species. And and literally Amy Kelly and the volunteers have found some of the mechanisms. Our reproductive systems, our systems, our hormonal systems, all of these delicate systems that lead toward desire toward one another have been tampered with, and worse, you know, men. You know, some men are going to have horrible problems with their penises as a result of these injections.
That's sobering, isn't it? I'll have some experts on in the next week to discuss this in greater depth. But something else that I think is important, and that is, we played a series of clips last week. We got some really good feedback on it. Now, these are clips. It's not about whether I agree or disagree, because there are things I can agree and disagree with each one. But it's just giving you an idea of what people out there in the larger universe are saying on different topics. And I think that we should have a view of, you're saying that, I disagree with that, that doesn't make any sense, or yeah, that makes some sense. But in the normal course of a day, we wouldn't be hearing these voices, we wouldn't hear these insights. Again, you can agree or disagree. I'm playing them just to give you a broader view of what other people have to think on a different issue. Because right now we're into this monotheistic way of dealing with everything. There's one truth, the official truth. And the guardians of that truth are the media. Have you heard any of the media apologize for being wrong about all the major issues they've dealt with? No. They just keep doubling down. Any governmental agencies admit they've been wrong? No. And yet they expect people to trust them. And trust in the government is very low, and the media is even lower. Rightly so, well deserved. So once you watch all these, and we're going to play some today and some tomorrow, if you're inspired by any to challenge it, good, or to agree with it, good, call us and let us know what you think. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now to a compilation of short, these are generally under 60 seconds. There are about 10 of them. Again, some I think you'll find inspiring, especially about Albert Einstein. Things he said don't tell people and things he said do tell people. There's some interesting comments in here. Fifth clip.
If I asked your husband why y'all divorced, what would he tell me?
Domestic violence.
Okay. How often did you beat his?
No, I'm the victim.
Hmm.
And I'm okay with that. I thank God I got out alive.
And how long you been divorced?
For 2 years.
How long were y'all married?
7 months.
So now hold on. I know I got a new calculator, but you got kids that are like in their 20s.
Right.
By two different guys or by one?
By one.
Why didn't you marry him?
The last one?
No, the one that impregnated you once or twice.
Oh, he went to jail.
Oh, so you pick whoopers and felons. And then you're going to complain about I need you to stop right here, ma'am. I need you to slow the whole French toast down. I'm not going to let you get on here and talk about what black men are not when you picking dudes that whoop your ass and that are felons. See, I'm not going to sit around and let you black women just sit around and talk about hey, black men ain't here and ain't this, they ain't that, when in your own life, you pick
seven things Albert Einstein would recommend to anyone. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. The only source of knowledge is experience. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. The world is a dangerous place to live. Not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it.
Everywhere that you go, when you see the messaging that is being given to men, it's telling them to be the opposite of strong. It's telling men to be vulnerable, telling men to have feelings, telling men that it's okay if they want to wear makeup, if it's okay if they want to wear heels. It's okay if you want to wear a dress, right? It's if you think that it's an accident that Vogue, the Vogue magazine, makes a conscious decision to put Harry Styles on the cover wearing a ball gown. If you think that was by mistake, you would be wrong, right? Kid Cudi. I mean, what I felt when I saw that image of him on the red carpet wearing a dress and holding a purse. If you think that that is supposed to be something that happened by accident, you are wrong. This is messaging that is going out to men and saying that this is what you need to aspire to. Real men wear dresses. Said nobody ever. Ever.
Enabling people's bad behavior is not compassionate. I'm gonna say it again. Enabling people's bad behavior is not compassionate. For most of my life, I was surrounded by people with a victim mentality, people who refused to take responsibility for their own bad decision-making skills, bad actions that led to their bad circumstances. And instead, they would blame everything they were going through on anything and anyone they could around them. And they would surround themselves with enablers and people they could benefit off of, people that they knew wouldn't walk away so easily, and they could get money or food or a place to stay or, just whatever they needed from them, right? But eventually they will burn that bridge and then they'll just go off and start the process all over again with someone else. In my experience, the people who have those enablers will continue to act badly for as long as they can. But the people who don't, the people who realize that the only person that they can rely on is themselves, those are the people who go on to be successful, change their life. Food for thought.
These experiences that I've gone through, combined with the Democratic Party's increasing authoritarian instincts, have really driven home the truth that protecting our freedom to defend ourselves and those we love, and protecting our rights and freedoms enshrined in the Constitution against a tyrannical power is exactly why we must ensure that our right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
When a man does not feel appreciated in the area of his presence, he becomes a version of a man that he can give you and still survive. And I promise you, you will not like that version. That version of him is silent, frustrated, sharp with his words, short-tempered, non-communicative, because he has to become something that he can survive in.
So let me get this straight. You claim everybody is racist, yet you're the ones who are always constantly bringing it up. You claim people shouldn't be reduced to just their parts, while simultaneously calling women uterus havers and chest feeders. You say you want to dismantle gender stereotypes, but you uphold them for gender ideology, because if a boy likes things that are typically girl-oriented, then that means he's a girl, and vice versa. You preach about self-acceptance and loving who you are, and everybody is beautiful, while also simultaneously encouraging people to undergo surgery and hormone therapy in order to change their physical appearance. You claim that males are inherently oppressive towards women, but have no problem with a male then saying he's a woman and entering into our private spaces. You say you support all women, but you simultaneously cheer on people hating the TERFs, just women who are against all this gender ideology. Consistency. We love to see it.
I noticed that there's always a group of my friends who always criticize what I'm saying and not even try to understand where I'm coming from. I've always wondered how to deal with that. I mean, I want to listen to what they're saying, but they're not understanding what I'm... They're not trying to listen to what I'm saying. So what would you do in that situation?
I'm going to answer that. There's a line in the New Testament that's relevant to that. Do not cast pearls before swine. And what that means is that if people are not listening to you, stop talking to them. That is the best piece of advice that I can give you. And what happens is that if you stop talking to people who aren't listening to you and start watching them instead, they will tell you what they're up to. But so if you have things to say, say them, but you find people that will listen, talk to them. The ones who aren't listening, pull back, because you're devaluing what you have to say by offering it to an audience that does nothing but reject it.
Well, I don't think we should be teaching white privilege in the classroom.
Bro, real talk though, like brother to brother, teaching white privilege does not inherently mean black people are less.
Like, that's a great conversation for you to have with your child. But I don't think that taxpayer-funded hatred should be something that we allow in our schools.
Okay.
For black children to sit in a classroom and be told that because of the color of your skin, well, doesn't matter how hard you try, you're really not gonna go that far because the society hates you, and then you have all these structural barriers preventing your success. That is also wrong. That is not lessons of hope. That is not lessons of opportunity. And I think that is what schools should be about. You can't create the next generation of leaders if they are never capable of seeing themselves as leaders, right?
When you are feeling guilt, shame, anxiety, depression, it's usually because you are living incongruently with the man that you want to be, until it finally, for me, led into a massive panic attack. I'm being very transparent and honest with you guys, because if you're like, well, I think I suffer from depression and anxiety. Listen, I understand depression's real, but I bet probably 2% of you out there have real clinical depression. The rest of you are living incongruently with the man that you want to be, just like I was. And therefore, your conscience is reminding you that you want to be 2.0. You tell yourself that you're going to live a better life, you're going to be vice-free, that you're going to focus on your nutrition and your diet, and you're going to focus on your family and your mindset, but you don't, and you give into the pleasures and the desires of life, and you ignore your duty and your purpose, and as a byproduct, you begin to suffer in silence. And you know that most men live lives of quiet desperation.
We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, hopefully that you will have called in to share your points of view on anything that we've discussed. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Here's another very short clip. This is Dr. Peter McCullough being interviewed, and what he says we should do now So we stop putting all of our energy on what he says is no longer a crisis, the COVID vaccines and the COVID virus.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm reporting in from Jackson, Mississippi at the state capitol. Had historic House of Representatives testimony yesterday, and multiple experts, physicians, scientists, nurse practitioners, and the most compelling testimony was from the patients. Wow. There were patients who had intracranial hemorrhage. They were paralyzed in wheelchairs, parents who had lost their children after the vaccine. And it was all captured there in the state capitol building. And you know, the conclusion was pull them off the market. And state by state, they can actually remove them from the market. The vaccines are not safe for human use.
That's astounding and a tragedy, devastating. We recently have seen Surgeon General Joe Latipo out of Florida. You know, he's working under Governor Ron DeSantis, really pushing out the VAERS reporting and the danger warnings for these vaccines. Do you think that they're close to potentially pulling these vaccines in Florida?
I think Florida is the closest. Mississippi, maybe next. It's almost where there needs to be some type of official House or Senate or House of Commons or Health and Human Services vetting or deposition testimony of experts who believe they're not safe. But the message is clear. There was no one in the Capitol building yesterday who was making a case that the vaccine should stay on the market. You know, the pandemic is winding down. Recent paper by Clausen and colleagues from Harvard shows that 94% of Americans have already had COVID. We're already through it. Second cases are mild or inconsequential, and that we just want to move on with normal life now. The vaccines can be retired and we can put them in the rearview mirror.
You know, it is interesting to me, the response from legislators in Alabama, right? You know, Democrats, Republicans, and this was testimony that was presented in, you know, in front of a government body. For so many years, 3 years now, it's interesting, you and I, those of us who were kind of proclaiming, you know, this cautionary, you know, tale about the COVID vaccines for the past 2 years, now it seems as if, you know, you're seeing reports on mainstream news media, you're seeing elected officials begin to hear this and kind of like deal with it. But what was the response from elected officials who have been so quiet, so slow to move on this, so difficult to penetrate in terms of getting them to understand and grasp the severity of the situation that we all knew was coming and has been here in the U.S. for quite some time?
Our session in Jackson, Mississippi here was chaired by Representative Randy Boyd, and he concluded the session by saying that, you know, this is a large task. Actually, to try to remove the vaccines now is going to be a large task, but, you know, everything will be done as possible. They've had here in Mississippi, they've had the removal of their public health official in charge. They don't have a surgeon general here, but the physician Dobbs, and it was really in disgrace over dispute early on, where doctors in Greenville, Mississippi had learned how to treat COVID. They treated thousands of patients. They didn't have a single mortality, a few hospitalizations during the worst part of the pandemic. They took their results. They did the right thing. They were reporting it in the Mississippi State Medical Journal. Dobbs then tries to undermine this process, and it's revealed by the journal editor, and he resigns in disgrace. You know, these types of things happened all over the country. There was an intentional suppression of the treatment of COVID in order to advance the vaccines, and it was just the wrong strategy.
It is astounding to believe the malicious intent when you consider that there were health officials at top levels in the federal government and in state governments across the country who willfully and knowingly withheld early treatment, condemning so many elderly people, older individuals in the early days of COVID-19 to death because they refused to treat it. It's so callous. And I think this is one of the reasons that people have a hard time grasping this, Dr. McCullough, because you'd have to look to profound wickedness, not among everyone. A lot of people were confused. It was fog of war. They were just following orders. But some people did know. Some people knew knowingly, and they withheld this in order to roll out a killer jab that has made them billions upon billions of dollars, has secured vast amounts of power for multinational corporations, global entities like WEF, WHO, and our, you know, national governments. Like, how do you untangle all of this? I mean, it seems like such a mess, and you know, figuring out, you know, who to hold accountable and how to move forward is, I think, you know, to quote Dobbs, like a, or not Dobbs, but the fellow Boyd who ran the hearing. This is like a huge undertaking.
It certainly is true. You know, in our book, Courage to Face COVID-19, which will be featured at the, you know, the huge Rochester event coming up. We're going to get to that. In our book, we have a term called the biopharmaceutical complex. Others in their books use similar terms. It means that this whole thing has gotten so big. Our government has invested in the biological threat industry, if you will. And it's astonishing how many different departments and parts of our government have been involved. We knew about the National Institutes of Health and BARDA, the military and DARPA, Health and Human Services. Now, recent report, Department of Energy. People are like, what? You know, what is the Department of Energy? It turns out they have an entire program on biological threats. They've been in this arena for decades now. Anywhere where there's development of a potential biological threat, which our country could use or have to defend, they're involved. They have 17 projects. One of them was SARS-CoV-2.
Unbelievable. And
sure enough, they issued a report on whether or not the virus came out of the Wuhan lab. And
it's very short, but it's to the point. He makes his point. Then the rest of that interview is explaining why. But we already know why. We're going to take a break and go to the phones. If people are there, we'll take your calls. You've got a lot now you can think about to call in on. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Okay, I'm happy to take your calls now. Please give us a call. We're going to say goodbye to our WBA audience here in about 60 seconds. They have to go to the news. We're going to continue to top the hour at PRN.live, PRN.live. And I also want to mention that I'm going to be interviewing people for a position as an archivist of our films to review films each day. It's a wonderful job, good paying. And but it's down here in Florida because our archives are down here, thousands and thousands of films. And you just watch films and the big guests, the interesting guests over the decades and topics, we're going to take those out and send them up to New York so we can share them with the audience. My goal is to have about 5,000 of these films, 5 minutes to 20 minutes, sent up for the people to be able to review on every single topic imaginable. If you're interested, you got to be able to work and be good and familiar with computers, you can call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. Let me just take a look to see if we have any callers. I don't see at the moment. Okay.
No callers, Gary.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a couple, and by the way, Utrice is up and her show from the top of the hour. And I'm going to be joining her for the first 5 minutes of her show today. That's Utrice Lead back, and I'll bring you an update on her health, which I give you the details. And I think you'd like to hear what's happening. Now, Luann is getting ready for the big event. We have two events simultaneously, and sometimes people are confused. We have our health and nutrition retreat. That is not, I repeat, that is not our anti-aging clinical study, but they're both happening at the same time. The lectures are different. The food is the same. The juicing is different. There's no supplementation and there's no a rigid protocol. You can come and relax. You can spend as much time in nature, meditating, doing Chai Chi and Qigong and all these other wonderful exercises we have, you can do as little or as much as you want in a day. It's meant for people who are stressed to de-stress, who are confused about where they should go next in this life journey, to have better clarity on that. I'm doing a lot of lectures on that. To get into shape, start to get your body moving again. So that's what that's about. So that's going to be the last two weeks of May. So I think from the 14th to 27th. So if you want to come to that, you'll call Luann at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. I'm not doing a fall retreat. My schedule is packed. I've got lectures everywhere, and I've got a whole lot going on. So I'm just now today negotiating the return of 14 of my best-selling book titles from a publisher who's had them, well, for almost 25 years. So I'm going to update all those books. I'm updating one major book right now for clinicians and lay people together, The Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. But all the references in the book, thousands of references, are from National Library of Medicine. So I've got a whole lot on my schedule. And so if you want to take advantage of coming and detoxing, rejuvenating, de-stressing, repurposing, enjoying great meals, beautiful environment, wonderful staff, that's the Health and Nutrition Retreat. If you want to come for anti-aging, that's separate. I'm still working on new protocols. I'm trying to add a second scientific prospect of this by doing telomere length, which determines your age, as well as the getting the same group of people who help with the first go-around with the DNA methylation, and that's a very strict protocol. They're the two groups of people doing different things in the same environment, and we limit the number. We're allowing people this time who are 50 and older into the anti-aging study. Again, that number for anti-aging, and there are two separate programs going on simultaneously. 903-881-7008. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening in today. And we'll have, by the way, if sometimes people are listening, 95% of the people listen on the archives, and our archive number, if you don't have it, is 631-359-9463, 631-359-9463. And you can leave a message about anything you'd like to share with us. Our voicemail number is 86-